Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Lenny Grimaldi knows more about Bridgeport than anyone. Tony and Melissa in the morning. WICC 600.
All right, Lenny's here. He writes the blog Only in Bridgeport. He does a great job, and he has graciously agreed to join us once a week here on a Tuesday and to talk about the goings-ons in Bridgeport. Lenny, how you doing?
Good morning. I am freezing. My furnace isn't working.
Oh my God. Really?
I'll try to warm us up with some news.
All right. Okay. It sounds good.
I'll tell you who's feeling pretty hot this morning is Superintendent of Schools Mike Testani, who got a 3-year contract last night. So he's feeling pretty good. He's warming up.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just warming up, actually, right? Sure.
So Testani, the Board of Education, voted to approve the 3-year contract for Michael Testani, who's been acting in an acting capacity since Arresta Johnson left the district. And it's a little bit peculiar because there was really no notice on this. It came kind of out of left field, but they voted 7-2 last night to give him a contract. He's technically working in acting capacity, and will start for July 1 for 3 years, which is traditional. By state law, a superintendent has to have a 3-year rolling contract. So there you go. After announcing last year that they would do a national search for a superintendent, they decided on to give Superintendent Testani, 3 more years.
All right. Well, congratulations to him. That is great. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Carlos Carmo, the police officer that they're honoring.
Yeah, I mean, last night the Mayor Joe Gannon and the city council honored Carlos Carmo, a police officer. Now, think of this. A couple of weeks ago, there's this runaway SUV that's unoccupied that had disengaged and is barreling down Boston Avenue on the east side of Bridgeport, heading towards school kids who are just getting out of school. Carlos Carmo is a big man. He's big, he's strong, but he's also very quick thinking on his feet. He managed to race down, and the video of this is really compelling. He chased down this SUV, and it was a big one, managed to get inside and stop the car, which was tracking towards a bunch of school kids, because that was a disaster happening that he averted. So last night, the city council and the mayor honored him for his bravery. And this has become a national story, a very positive story for the police department. You know, sometimes I come on here and we talk about cops and some of the issues they face, but there's also a lot of really good law enforcement people in Bridgeport. And this is a great example of an officer who deserves a lot of recognition. So they did that last night. It was nice to see that.
Wow, he's Clint Eastwood. He's amazing.
Have you seen that video, Tony?
I have not seen the video.
It's really impressive, actually.
All right, we got to take a look at that.
Yeah, the surveillance video is really impressive. It's like crazy. He looks like he's almost being dragged, but he stays on his feet, and the car does come to a stop. He literally looks like Superman.
Now, was he on duty or off duty at the time?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he's a school resource officer.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He's a school resource officer, so... you know, it's interesting. He's a reluctant hero. He didn't want to do any of this stuff. You know, he just said, he just said, listen, I'm just doing my job.
Right.
And that's it.
You're right. And that's usually what a hero does, you know? That's true.
Yeah. He's not really into the cameras and the adulation and so on, but I think it casts a really positive light on the city, you know, and the police department. So that's why he was persuaded to do it. So
yeah.
I guess either way, he was going to, you know, be heralded for this work. So it was nice to see that.
Yeah. So Lenny Grimaldi with Only in Bridgeport. Unfortunately, I hate to bring down the spirit so far because two really great stories. This one, though, I have to say really bothers me. I know personally my father was actually in the hospital, and all of a sudden he was supposed to get a CAT scan, and he had to wait an hour. And we were like, Dad, what's going on? What's the deal? And he said there was this horrific accident, and two people came in on stretchers, and he said one of them did not look good. And it turned out the next day, the man who went in to get scans done ended up being Peter Cimbadaro's, the attorney who died in that car collision, I should say. And I know this is devastating for the city of Bridgeport. Do we know anything further about the man who hit him? And, you know, how is the city doing now days after this happened, this collision that happened on New Year's Day? Just absolutely devastating.
Yesterday, Keith Comerford was charged for the second time in his life with manslaughter. This is vehicular manslaughter, and he was arraigned on a $1 million bond. I don't see this guy ever getting out. He's a career criminal, reckless. It was a very strange series of events on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. This guy apparently was pretty wired up on drugs and crashing into several different people throughout the city. And unfortunately, on New Year's Day, as Peter Cimbadaro was traveling to see his parents in Black Rock, Comerford was behind the wheel of a van, barreling down Fairfield Avenue into Black Rock. And on the corner of Ellsworth Street, a collision occurred. He was going at a high rate of speed, and it ended up taking Peter Cimbadaro's life. I mean, this guy he's a monster. And I don't say that lightly. You know, sometimes you come on here and you talk about innocent to proven guilty. But in 1989, Keith Comerford was charged for killing a University of Bridgeport student in 1989. I covered that back then. There was a frat party that Comerford had crashed. There was an argument. He pulled out a gun. He shot somebody. And Leonard Massa, who was a student at UB, tried to disengage this guy and take his weapon away, and he shot him and killed the UB student. He did a lot of time for that, but got out fairly recently and committed other crimes, including endangerment to a child. And so now this happened, and, you know, he's being held, and I don't see him getting out, but it's it's an awful situation for the family and the city.
Lenny, we've run out of time, but the blog is called Only in Bridgeport. Check it out at onlyinbridgeport.com. Anything you want to know about Bridgeport, Lenny is on it. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thank you. I'll be on my furnace right now.
All right, my friend. Warm up. We'll see you next week. We are dialed into Jenny Curry, professional counselor here in Milford. And of course, Jenny's always welcome here at the show. Welcome this morning. How are you there, Jenny?
I'm good. I'm trying to stay warm. How are you?
Yeah, us too. You're absolutely right. Earlier in the show, we were talking about workaholics and how people prioritize their work lives. Do you find people put too much emphasis on their jobs?
Yeah, I think sometimes they do. And I think especially in this area, honestly, and it sounds kind of cliche, you know, the Fairfield County or the Connecticut kind of Northeast mentality. And I think it's really true. I think there's a lot of pressure, not even just because the cost of living is incredibly high around here as compared to other areas in the country, but also just there's definitely like a pressure to just be such a driver and to keep on going.
You know, when I was growing up, my father had, I would say he was workaholic. He worked every day. He worked even on Sundays. He worked at night. He had two jobs, and it just kept going and going and going for many, many years. But he put across the illusion that he was always around, because when he was home, he gave us quality time. Even if it was only for 20 minutes or a half hour a day, he always gave us quality time. If there was a birthday party, even though he had to go to work, even though he had to be there at 7 or 8 o'clock, he always made sure he was there for a couple of hours. And we brought out the birthday cake early so he could be there. He's in all of the pictures. He always made it a point to be around. But I do remember there wasn't a day that he didn't go to work.
Wow. But it sounds like that really resonated for you, though, that you still felt seen by your dad, you know, even in spite of how busy he was. And I think that's what we all want as parents for our kids, is that they still feel like seen and loved and cared for, even when we are busy.
Well, and I have to say, Jenny, I think that in the last 10 years, maybe even more than that, but I do find that, at least for myself as a young working mom, that more and more women are doing the thing where they balance full-time jobs with full-time momming and or parenting. And, you know, and there are plenty of dads who do it, too. But I do find that, you know, there was a time, you know, especially in Tony's, in my parents' age, where the women stayed at home and the men went to work. But now we're kind of in this day and age where both spouses are working and they're still parenting. So, you know, any tips for any parents out there who are trying to balance a little bit better, maybe not tip the scale so far towards work and putting parenting on the back burner or vice versa? How do you balance the two?
Yeah, you know, and I get it. You know, I'm working too, and even though it's not in hours completely full time, you know, there's definitely hours I have to spend outside of seeing my clients with, you know, kind of the backlog type of work there. And yeah, the family is even more important than that. So I think for me, sometimes what I found is definitely that, you know, if you and your spouse can be a team for one, it's hugely helpful. And also just taking advantage of the small moments, kind of like what you were saying, Tony, even if it isn't a ton of time, but the little bit of time that you do have. And so, for example, this weekend I took my 4-year-old out to Dunkin' Donuts, and, you know, it was like a half hour, but we had our donuts and we played Zingo. She loves Zingo. And we did that just, you know, because, and she loved it, you know. Or I also find myself often telling parents who come in and see me, if you can make your kids part of what you're doing anyway. So if you're cooking, like, bring them along into it. If you're shopping, and make it a learning experience too. And kids love that, I find. And then you're doing what you need to do for you and for the family, but you're also really getting some good time with your kids.
Yeah, I will say that is so true, Jenny, only because I was getting laughed at a little bit by some of my friends when they were asking what Chase got for Christmas, which, by the way, was not up to me. It was up to Santa. But Santa was very helpful this year because everything Chase got was just kid version of things in the kitchen. So he has his own spice rack now because he loves to go into the spice rack whenever I'm cooking and it drives me nuts. Or he has his own utensil set. He has his own pots and pans. So while I'm cooking, he's cooking on the floor. And I do find that it's funny. Most times little kids, and I'm sure I'm no different than anybody else, little kids want to do what their parents are doing. They're looking up to you. They're learning everything. So if there's a way that you can kind of bring them into it, even if you don't want them to directly, I don't want him sitting up on the stovetop with me, but if you can find a way for him to do it while you're, you know, doing what you need to get done, they are spending quality time with you, and you're still getting what you need to do done.
We might see him on the Food Network.
he would love that. He'd love that tone.
And I think, too, just also knowing what specifically resonates with your kids. Like, my oldest would love to just, like, play with snap circuits with me for hours, and we read. And, you know, the baby, I'm kind of still trying to figure that out. I think as long as I feed him, he's happy. And the 4-year-old likes Zingo. So, you know, kind of just depends on the kid, too.